Hi, everyone. Welcome to the call. I'm Heather Poduska, and I am really excited about today's topic. We are going to be learning power moves so you can be seen as a player in your industry. We're going to be covering different ways to get your foot in the door and get recognized as a leader. And the reason it's so important to be seen as a leader, and I know some people are like, I don't know if I really want that, but here's the deal. When you're a leader, you become the go-to expert in your field, and lots of amazing things start to happen. You don't need to work as hard to get clients. You get more referrals. Hey, have you heard about Jen? Hey, have you heard about Trish? They're so amazing at what they do, right? You can command higher fees. If you're the leader, if you are standing out, you know, you can command higher fees than someone who has to sort of scramble for visibility. You get invited to speak on bigger and better stages, on podcasts, on TV. People hear about you. And you get to play with really cool people in your sandbox, both as clients and as colleagues. Basically, all kinds of doors open up to you that weren't open before, and you have much more influence and freedom in your life and your business. It's a wonderful, wonderful position to be in. And speaking of position, we're going to be talking a lot today about how to position yourself as a leader, because in order to be seen as a player in your industry, there are basically two things you really need. One is great positioning, and the other one is great connections. If you have a lot of visibility, but you're not positioned in the right way, you're not going to have the results that you want. And if you have strong positioning, but not enough of the right people know about you and your audience and other influencers, you're also not going to be able to create the kind of success that you want, and that is truly possible. And since you're on this call with me, one thing that I know is that you're hungry for more, right? I mean, if you weren't hungry for more, you wouldn't have signed up for this class, you wouldn't have been doing your homework, you wouldn't have been printing out templates and really listening and showing up for the calls. So let's get you more. The first thing we're going to cover is setting the stage for your dreams. And why are we going to do this? Why are we setting the stage for your dreams? It's because we can talk about success and positioning and visibility until the cows come home. But if you don't have a clear vision of what it is that you really want, what you want your success to look like, you're not going to be focused in your efforts. You're not going to have the juju to really go for the things that you want if you're not properly motivated. And more than likely, you'll end up with something that's only kind of fulfilling, when in fact, you can create something that's wildly fulfilling if you're willing to commit to your vision. So let's get clear right now. All dreams start in your mind. If you want to make magical things happen in your life or in your business, you need to have a clear vision of what you want. Most of the goals that are set are way too small. And then what happens is we reach those goals and we're kind of disappointed. Why not dream big? Why not really, 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 really get into the core of what's going to light you up and then take actions aligned with that dream? Because the saying goes, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. So let's get started on the conception of your dreams so you can start implementing a plan of action that will bring your vision to fruition. And I'm really, 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 really passionate about this, because if you don't have the right fuel, you're not going to be motivated to take the kinds of big actions, big steps, big risks that are going to propel you forward in the way that you want to. So let's look at this. What is the ultimate dream that you have for your life and your business? And listen, I know this is a big question. I know it is. I know that it can be overwhelming to sit down and say, what do I want for my life? But you know what? If you don't sit down and do it now, at some point, when is it going to happen? You need to make your happiness, your fulfillment, a priority. And we're doing it right now. So I want you to take a breath. We're going to do it together. Blow it out. Whatever has happened in your life in the 20 minutes before you got on this phone call, whatever distractions that you may have had there in the past, and you are here with me now listening to the sound of my voice. Take this moment for yourself and let's go. Where do you want to be working in your life? What environment do you want to be in? How do you want to spend your time? Do you want to spend your time meeting one-on-one with really high-paying, juicy clients that light you up? Or do you want to be on a stage, traveling from city to city, speaking in front of thousands of people, maybe being on television and interviewed by Oprah? Hey, maybe having your own show that's on par with the Oprah show. Or maybe your dream is to be outside, to be communing with nature. Maybe your dream is to work the 4-hour work week and be in Tahiti with a margarita, right? What is it that you want? And if you don't take ownership of it, it's not going to happen. Who are you with? Who is surrounding you? Who are your clients? How do you want to make money? Do you want to be face-to-face with clients, or do you want to have passive income? Do you want to just be writing? Do you want to be a published author and have passive programs where people are, you know, paying for things while you sleep and you don't really want to have clients? There's no judgment because you can have whatever you want. How much money do you want to make? Do you want to have $50,000 a year, $100,000, $1 million, $100 million? Why not you? Paint your ideal vision with as much detail as possible. This is your ultimate dream. So go crazy. And if you need more time to think about this, plan an hour. Go someplace lovely. Have a tea, coffee, wine, that margarita if you want to, and let yourself really dream. Okay, so let's bring it in a little bit more and make it more tangible. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? All right, how old are your kids? Where are you going to be? What kind of business do you want to have in 5 years? 5 years, you can kind of put your finger on the pulse, right? What is it really going to look like? How different do you want your client base to look in 5 years? What programs do you want to have in place in the next 5 years? How much money do you want to be making? Who do you want to be connecting with, or with whom, shall I say, that you want to be connected with? What circles do you want to be traveling in? Okay, now let's bring it home. If you could choose one big kahuna goal in the next year that would light you up if you accomplished it, what would that be? Not a goal that's just going to make you happy, like, oh, if I could make, you know, 50K in the next year, or I want you to take that word just the hell out of your vocabulary, right? This should be something that if you accomplished it, and you only have 12 months to do it, right? So this is maybe not the big kahuna dream, but this goal should make you feel over the moon, jumping up and down, ecstatic if you were to reach it in the next 12 months. Don't pick 5 goals. Don't even pick 3. I want you to pick one. One goal that when you think about it, you get a zing of lightning in your belly that makes you say, oh my God, that would be so cool, right? Maybe it's writing a book. Maybe it's giving a TED talk. Whatever that one goal is, I want you to write it down. Now, what do you need to reach that goal? What do you have to learn or accomplish to reach that goal? Who do you have to meet or connect with to make that goal a reality? If you want to give a TED talk, who do you have to talk to? Where do you have to apply? What requirements do you have to get in place? I interviewed the Penguin Lady, this Diane Dinopoli, a lovely woman who came on my podcast and told the story of how when she was 30 years old, she decided she wanted to study dolphins in Hawaii, and she didn't have the experience. She didn't have the proper qualifications to apply for this grant that they were giving out for, I think it was a 2-year grant to go to Hawaii and study dolphins. So Diane applied to veterinary nursing school just so she could apply not get, just to apply for the grant. Well, guess what? Diane made that her singular focus, and over 300 other applicants, she won the grant to go to Hawaii and study the dolphins. So what are the requirements required for you to be able to accomplish your goal? What do you have to give up to reach that goal? Maybe it's your weekly addiction of watching Scandal. Maybe it's your addiction to being an overachieving mommy. What is it that you have to give up to reach your goal? Who do you have to become to reach that goal? That's a big one. You might have to become brave. You might have to become someone who respects and honors your boundaries. And then the last one. What physical, practical, logistical, or financial needs do I have to reach my goal? Maybe you need more sleep, better health. Maybe you need to set up space in your home where you're not distracted that has a door on it, so when you need to work on your book, you can shut the door and say it with a do not disturb sign on it. Maybe you need to save up for 3 months to be able to afford something, some training or some equipment that you need to reach your goal. Without this clarity, your dreams are not going to happen. You must make it a priority. Set yourself up for success. And be brave enough and willing enough to commit to your vision. That in and of itself, even if you never get there, is going to propel you so much farther than 90% of the people out there hustling, because you have direction. Okay. Now that you have a picture of what you want, and hopefully you're really excited about it, let's look at the positioning. How can you position yourself as a player in your industry so people will want to help you reach your dream goal? That means clients and colleagues. Because, my friends, it takes a village. No one accomplishes anything really big on their own. You need a support team, and you need to get your foot in the right doors. So let's look at how to do that. The most important thing you can do to up your credibility and status in your industry is demonstrate value. Whether you're trying to position yourself for ideal high-paying clients or for the attention of major influencers, you must come across as someone who can perform. So below are some tips for becoming a star in your industry. And some of these are going to look familiar to you. We've talked about some of these already. The first one, of course you know I'm going to say this. I can't help it. It's just, you know, it's the opera singer image consultant in me. You have to look good. You have to look polished. You have to have a polished presence online, period. We live in a digital world, and anytime you're introduced to a new person or audience, they will be checking you out online. Come on, we all do it, right? You hear about someone, oh, I heard about this great new coach. I heard about this person who has this program. I heard about this really great product. What do? We Google it. That's the first thing that we do. And believe me, people are doing that about you. You must have a cohesive visual brand presence that screams authority. Make sure you have high-quality professional pictures of yourself on your website and profiles, and that your branding is consistent across all platforms. If you want to be taken seriously, you have to look sharp and professional, even if you have a more relaxed brand. And this goes not only for the headshots or the pictures that you have of yourself, but please don't put any crappy pictures up there that are for like your blog posts. Do high-res photos. There are all kinds of places that you can do that online. There's a place called Morgfile, morgfile.com. There's Pixabay. They're all of pixabay.com. All these places where you can get high-res photos. And there are a lot of other ones. So use high-res photos or use your own. You know, you can make great pictures with an iPhone, but use high-quality pictures. Okay, number two, be visible. You have to get out there. You know, I always say you don't get paid to sing in the shower, not unless you're very comfortable singing naked and have a ginormous shower. People will be looking for you online. If you don't have a footprint, your street cred is going to be highly diminished. Of course, this will grow as you grow in your business and as your time and budget allow, right? I mean, if you're a busy mommy and you have three or four kids or even one kid and you're carpooling and you're doing that, cut yourself some slack and just do what you can. But if you really want to be an influencer, you have to become known. And this means posting on social media, writing articles, getting published, doing interviews, speaking, and networking. You have to create a public presence. The more people you know or who know of you, the stronger your network and the bigger your influence. This is crucial and something you should be working on all the time. And try, please, to stay consistent. It's way better to post a little bit less frequently and show up on a regular basis than to go gangbusters and then disappear. You want to build credibility and trust. Okay, the next one is uber important. Be a giver. Be a giver, and this is especially important if you're trying to reach out to someone who's in your industry, a big reach, a player, an influencer, and you want to get yourself noticed. Maybe you want to have them as a guest on your podcast. Maybe you want to be a sponsor at one of their events. Maybe you want to get a quote from them. Maybe you want them to be your client. Maybe you want to speak on their stage. You know, it's something that everybody has to go through. You're climbing this ladder of influence, and even the influencer that you're approaching is someone who also had to climb to get there. And the way you get your foot in there is to show up as someone who's generous. The more you give, the more you'll benefit. It's the law of reciprocity. This is especially true if you're trying to approach someone who's more established than you are. The rule is give, 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 give. And give some more without asking for anything in return. Anything. Give and give and give. And they're going to see your value. They're going to see that you are showing up as someone who can be of value. And then ask, right? Give, 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 and then ask. If you can prove yourself of value to them, they'll be much more likely to grant you access. And I have used this in my own business development, right? I've reached out to big players, very big players, and said, you know what? I see if you did this with your image, if you tweaked this in your photos, you'd be more attractive to a female audience. And guess what? I got a response. It does work, but you have to show up as a giver and have someone who has something of value to contribute. This value can be in the form of creating or sharing content, being a powerful connector who makes important introductions for people. You know, always be thinking about the people in your network. Who can you connect? Who can you make some really cool synergy for that might be beneficial for both parties? If you can be seen as a power connector, your street cred goes through the roof, right? This can be giving valuable feedback and input in online groups to make the host look good, or passing along opportunities and tips for people that might be really beneficial for their brand. You know, if you know an influencer and there's some big convention or some big opportunity that's coming along, you might suggest it to them because it positions you as someone who has something valuable and that you are in the know. There are many ways to position yourself as a high-value expert, but they all start with giving. Okay, the next one is own your value. Do not kowtow. The last thing you want is to appear desperate. You don't want to harass people, beg people. Do not lower yourself or defer to someone else to try to get your foot in the door. Show up as a player who has value to contribute. Come to the table to play. And this means demonstrating value and demanding value. And this is in the term and shows up in terms of charging what you're worth, right? And not discounting your value by discounting your prices. The fifth one is swim with the sharks. If you want to raise your game, you have to surround yourself with people who are also playing to win. You know, they say you're influenced most by the five people you hang out with the most. So take a look around. Who are the five people you spend the most time with? And you know what? If it's your kids and they can't keep their room clean, that doesn't count, right? People in your industry, people in your life, right? People who are also raising their game. If you're hanging out with a bunch of naysayers and negative, toxic people, bye-bye. Bye-bye. They should not be in there. This means going to events where influencers and ideal clients are hanging out. You might have to dedicate more time and energy to travel out of your immediate area. But if you're intentional and strategic, the effort can be well worth it. Just being around those big players will inspire you to raise your game. And on the other hand, like I said, ditch encounters that offer no room for growth or make you feel self-conscious about your bigger aspirations. Negative, small-minded, and critical people will do more to damage your progress than just about anything else. Goodbye to that. Okay. 6, take bold actions. You have to be willing to step out of your comfort zone to get the things you want. If you don't, you'll continue to get the kinds of results you have now. Give yourself an assignment. One bold action a week or month, something that will have a real impact on your progress, and make it specific. For example, I will call whoever your reach person is by April 30th. I will call Oprah Winfrey by April 30th, or I will contact someone who knows someone about Oprah's team by April 30th, whatever that step is, or I will speak to blank at the next conference I go to. If I'm going to go to the National Association of Dentists and I'm a dentist and I want to get my foot in the door with some, I'm going to speak to the head of the dental conference in Texas by June 1st. Whatever it is for you and your brand. And then do it. Remember, you can feel safe or you can be successful, but rarely, rarely do those things go hand in hand. Next, do your research. If you do want to approach someone who's further along than you do, you want to know as much as possible about them so you can A, give real value to them, and B, show that you're really interested in them and their work and not just trying to use them for their influence for your benefit. By doing your research, you're going to better understand how to position yourself in relationship to that person, and you're going to learn about that world and the other players in it with whom you might also want to connect. The next one is be bold about proclaiming your point of view. At this point, your point of view should be pretty clear. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes it takes some pretty big cojones to say what you believe. But the more you do, the more you're going to stand out as a thought leader. And becoming known as a thought leader is one of the best ways to gain attention and authority. Not everyone's going to have the courage or the forethought to express what they truly believe in a strong, provocative way. Doing this is going to separate you from the crowd and definitely position you as a leader. Eventually, you're going to create buzz and start getting invitations to play at bigger and more prestigious tables. And finally, really important one, nurture a powerful mindset. It takes a lot of mental fortitude to be a resilient leader. If you allow negativity to pollute your mind, it will knock you down. You must be vigilant about nurturing your positivity and grounding into your personal power. And you know what? Do what it takes, whatever it takes for you. I'm not going to sit here and say you should do one thing or another thing because everybody is unique. And I know I've tried lots of different things, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. Sometimes things don't work at all, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they work for a little while, and then I need to shift. But some of the things that do work well for people are affirmations, reading inspirational texts, listening to inspiring podcasts, going to watch speakers or going to shows that lift you up, meditating, and then the physical side, absolutely. Get enough rest. Arianna Huffington gave a speech at the Mass Women's Conference where there are like 10,000 women a couple of years ago, and almost her entire speech was about sleep, about getting enough rest. Take care of your body. Basically, do whatever you need to do on a regular basis to keep your mind in the power zone. Do that, and you're going to soar. Okay, now that we have your mind and your body in the right place, and we've got you positioned as a leader, as a powerhouse, now we need to up your visibility and get you connected to the right people. You know, Harvey McKay says, dig your well before you're thirsty. Almost nothing in life and in business is important as building relationships. The strength of your business is directly linked to the strength of your network. The bigger your list and the stronger the connections you have, the stronger your business will be. And in order to grow your list and reach your audience, you need to actively pursue and nurture your network. This doesn't happen spontaneously, nor do you have unlimited amounts of time and energy to attend everything. So it's really important to be strategic about your efforts. So here are a few things to consider when developing a plan to make stronger, more prolific connections for your business. And these questions are things to think about for both on and offline. Which groups, online groups, networking groups, professional groups, events, conferences, events with audiences that are my clients, influencers, which of these things need what I have to offer? Who needs what I have to offer? If I went to a women's business networking event, that would be a good match, right? Because they need business building skills. But I might also be thinking about influencers that have what I need. Who is someone that wants a national platform? Who really wants to be on big stages? Who wants to be media ready? Who wants to be a thought leader to millions of people? Who are they? Where do they gather? Who is that? Who is that for you? Where do they gather in numbers? What online groups have influencers and audience members that need what you have to offer? Which groups, events, and influencers have something to offer that you need, right? What are the weaknesses in your business? What do you need to get more information about to really become someone who's a powerful leader? Now, once you have your list, how often do they meet? Where do they meet? Is it, you know, if it's a group online, sometimes they might have live events. Find out when the live events are. If it's a networking group, where do they meet? Is it near you? How often do they meet? When do they meet? Is it something that meets at 7 o'clock in the morning when you're trying to take your kids to school? Or is it on the weekends or is it in the evening? Get your information together. Then how much time or money can I commit each week or month to networking? You might want to set a budget aside. Are you going to go to, how many local events will you go to? How many big conferences should you go to? And I highly recommend that if you want to be a player in your industry, get out of your local town and go to some of these big conferences where leaders are gathered. Because not only are you going to learn so much from the event itself, but you're going to meet other like-minded people who are hungry for what you have to offer. They're learners. They're investors, right? So look at the places that you want to go and think about your calendar. How much time can I spend away from home? How much money is it going to cost? What do I have to budget? All right. Then get really clear. You want to write this down. What value are you going to be bringing to the group or the person you're pursuing? That sort of ties back to the first question. You want to be really clear about it because when you approach, what do you want to do? Give, 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 and then ask. And go in with a heart and a mind of building true relationships and connections. All businesses are built on relationships. And then think about, how can this group or this person help me grow? What do I need from them? So you want to be clear, if you are making an ask, what is the ask? You know, there's a networking group locally here, and often when they have roundtables and you introduce yourself, you get to say what you do and, you know, your services, yada, yada, yada. But part of the networking is they always tell you to say what you need in your life right now. So if I'm saying that I'm a business coach, a brand strategist, blah, 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 I might at the table say, you know what, I need a parenting coach right now. I have a teenager and whatever. Or I have, my roof is leaking. I need a really good contractor. Or I need a tax person. I need a bookkeeper, right? So think about how this person can help you. What do you need from them? What is it specifically from that mentor that you want? Do you want to learn something that they're teaching? Maybe you need to enroll one of their courses to get in their circle, in their community. Do you want their community, right? Maybe you have to get involved in their online groups. Maybe you have to pay a fee to take one of their classes just to get access to the people in their community. And you know what? People do that all the time. You need to be strategic. What do you want from them? Do you want a recommendation from them? Do you want them to give you an introduction to somebody else? Know what your ask is. Okay, so then there's just the chart. Who is the person or group that you want to connect with? Why are you joining? Why do you want to connect? When, where, how much, and how often? And then get out your calendar. So now that you have your list, go to your calendar and schedule a slot for your weekly, monthly, and annual meetings or events where you might want to connect with your ideal clients or important influencers. Put recurring meetings on your calendar for that year. And, you know, like there are big conferences that I know of that different coaches that I know have. There's one that I go to sometimes in November. It's a specific one for branding. Then there's one that I like to go to sometimes in April. That's all about money mindset. And there's one that's sometimes in May that's really about something completely different. So, and the Mass Women's Council, Mass Women's Conference, the one I mentioned with Arianna Huffington, that's always the first week in December. So I know that those things are things that I might want to be doing. This year there's something in October that I know that I want to go to. So you can start to see how you want to schedule your time, your budget, all those things. Okay. The next, online, you want to develop a consistent presence. So if you are going to be like joining groups online, it is so not cool to pop in, say what you do, poach clients, and then leave. It's not cool. It can be a real time suck if you're not careful, but you do need to plan times and days where you're going to commit a certain amount of time and energy and thoughtfulness to connecting with the other people in the group, to contribute, to really be a giver, 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 and be a participant so that you start to build real relationships. Now, like I said, it can be a time suck, so maybe set a time a half an hour a day, or maybe you might want to do it on the weekend, give 2 hours to really dive deep into your groups. Just be consistent and be a real member, not just a poacher. Okay. It's very helpful when you do your networking and connecting to have specific goals in mind. If you're joining a group online, know why you're doing it, right? I belong to a group online, and it's all about giving gratitude. And every morning I go in, everybody in the group posts 3 things they're grateful for, and I start my day every day that way. And I read the other people in there. It takes 5 minutes. I say my thing, and then I move on. So I know why I'm doing that. It's for my personal gratification, to keep my mindset strong. I'm not spending 40 minutes chit-chatting with the people in the group. There's a specific thing that I go there for. Or I might join another group that that has people in the group that I want to have on my podcast. So I might build relationships with them that way. Or there might be another group that I might want to join because I want to learn from them. I want to learn from their expertise. So know why you're doing it, because that'll help you be savvy about which groups you join and which groups you spend time with. Your goal could be to speak, if you're going to live to networking groups, you might set your specific goal of speaking with a certain number of people at that event. Or maybe it would be to go and meet a specific person or to get a key introduction to a power player in your industry. So before you go to your next event, ask yourself, what is my specific objection for this experience? This is something you can do with anything that you're approaching. If you're speaking, I used to do this when I was singing for auditions because, you know, you get rejected so many times. Just have one win that you want to have. Okay, I want to make sure on this phrase that I spin this note this way. If I can do that, if I can hold that phrase just that length of time, that's all I'm going for. If I can do that, that's a win for me, even if nothing else good happens. So pick something that's going to be a win and make it your specific objection. This will help stretch you and grow your network, and it'll also help you calm your nerves to focus on a specific task. Okay, there you have it. If you follow, again, half of the things that we covered today, you are going to be so much more positioned as a leader in your industry than 90% of the people out there, because you're going to be strategic, You're going to be thinking about your positioning. You're going to be strategic about your time and your money and your energy with your networking, with your groups, with your connections, with the influencers, with the reaches. You're going to be connected to your why and your dream and motivated. You're going to be taking care of yourself so that you can be a winner in your life and in your business. All right, so up to this point, you really have everything that you need to start moving your business forward in a profitable way. You have your point of view. I cannot tell you how many people do not have their point of view. And it is, as you know, as we've gone through this process, it is the cornerstone to setting yourself apart. We've talked about your niche and your target audience. You've got clear messaging and powerful marketing copy you can use. You have the structure for creating a profitable signature system that you can use over and over and over again to leverage your first signature system and then to go on and create another one and another one. You have a structure for a profitable talk that will sell from the stage or online. You have a process for doing sales with integrity. We've covered setting up a business model that's streamlined and profitable. And we've covered how to create a powerful, streamlined, profitable content calendar. Now you have a strategy for positioning yourself as the go-to expert in your field and creating more visibility. You have everything you need to create a highly profitable, fulfilling business if you implement the steps that we've gone through. Now, I know that knowledge and implementation are two different things, and you have to have accountability and support when you're building your business. So if you want more support, you absolutely can get it from me, and we are going to talk about that more. That's why I'm adding Q&A. We're going to have an extra bonus call, but if you want to take it further and talk about that, I'm going to let you know how to do that as well. For now, I want to open up the line and answer your questions about positioning and growing a powerful network. Hold on. All righty. Any questions?
Oh, my goodness.
Am I still trying to write?
I know. Hold on. I was writing down something, too. Hold on a second. I had a question. Now I have to find my question. Just give me a second.
So try to keep your questions specific to what we talked about today.
Because
we're going to have our Q&A call next week, and we can go back and talk about everything we've covered up to that point. I'm just saying it for both of you.
No, you're
we
right.
We can talk about for today, try to keep it focused on what we talked about today.
I don't think I have a question. I thought I wrote something down, but I guess I was writing. I don't. I'm good. That was good.
Heather, my question from yesterday, would that be good for today? About
I don't remember what it was. So what? What's the question?
My question was how I am. I have different. I mean, I have my brand of clothing line. I have a foundation, like Facebook page, where I'm seen in different places and bringing consistency to that. Is that a good question for today or for Monday?
If it has to do with positioning, yeah, that's a great question for today.
Okay, because it's, you know, when you see me, you know, talking about my foundation, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in my apparel mindset, I'm also in my foundation mindset because the apparel that's sold goes straight to the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm a speaker, and I want to be out there speaking and sharing my message, and those two things tie into that, but that's not the catalyst of it all.
So let me ask you this question. Why did you start your apparel business?
I started my apparel business. It all came from that introduction, and that was going to be the sole funding of how to start a foundation because I had no capital and I had no money of my own just to invest in that.
And what is they're all, you know what, Trish, they're all connected. It's all very, very powerful. And, you know, when I was wrapping up at the end of today's talk, the thing that I said was that your point of view is the cornerstone to everything. And
right.
you just said it. I mean, you could be someone who has a portfolio career where you happen to have a foundation and you happen to also love fashion and really just love that and wanted to do that as well, and that you're also a speaker. And you that could be totally true, and those things might not necessarily be connected, and that would be absolutely fine. There's that people do that all the time because they have different interests. But for you, they actually are deeply connected. You started a whole business to fund your foundation.
Right.
So everything that you do is in service of your belief system.
Okay.
And the other thing about, correct me if I'm wrong, but the other thing about your apparel line is it's surf, right? It's surf, and tell me a little bit about it.
Sure. It's
what
called
you sell.
Cowgirl Surf, and it's mostly, it's mostly tops. I have one pair of yoga pants and then some board shorts. And then it basically started from a hoodie and a tee, and I couldn't get it into a store. It was sold out of the back of my Jeep in a weekend. And I went back to the designer, and he's like, holy smokes, let's do something more. So really, it totally fell into my lap because somebody asked me, what's my last wish if I died? And I said, to have a foundation to leave behind for kids whose parents have cancer. And my boys would be the ambassadors. Because there's been absolutely no support whatsoever for my kids. And now with their dad having cancer too, how many kids have both parents with cancer?
Right. I mean, it's really hard to even wrap your brain around it as you're saying it. Yeah, it's amazing.
So
you guys are so amazing.
So to keep clarity of it all, I don't want you're totally right, and I totally believe that they all go together.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I'm trying to build a presence online is where I struggle.
So tell me, okay, I'm going to help you with that in 2 seconds, but one other question I want to ask you about your fashion line. Why did you start, not the business, but why do you sell what you sell? Why do you sell Cowgirl surf apparel with hoodies and the apparel that you actually sell? Why?
My creative director, who my partner, basically my business partner, I met him literally in the ocean. This goes back again to my whole thing on introductions, how an introduction literally changes your life, because it started with somebody on the side of the road helping me get my surfboard out of my Jeep between surgeries and said, can I teach you how to stand up paddle? Meet me here tomorrow. And I did. And he Googled me, of course, to find out who I was. And I ran his plate and did a full background check on him, which he didn't know because he didn't Google me.
That's
and
so funny.
When we're in the ocean. Like,
oh, my God. Some people use Google. Some people run
right.
plates. I guess if you have an in, I would use plates, too. That's awesome.
Oh, I thought you knew that, Heather.
That's hilarious.
Anyway,
love it.
I told him, I said, you totally judged me. And I said, but we'll talk about that later, because he said, I'm the coolest chick. And I said, you know, why do you think that? And he said, well, I Googled you. Why would I take someone that looked like you out in the ocean and not know who you were? And I said, that's awesome. I'm so glad you did. And he said, and I read that you had cancer. And I said, but that's not what defines me. And he said, well, I want to know what your last wish is. If I said you have one last wish, what would it be? And that's why I brought up the foundation. So then he introduced me to JD, who is my partner, who just happened to design the first wetsuit for O'Neill. Wetsuits with Jack O'Neill, which is my last name. And we're in Santa Cruz where it all happened and started. So talk about positioning yourself. I didn't even know what the hell I was doing. It just was pure planets lined up for me that day. And then JD and I just, it was synergy that I have never, ever experienced with another person before.
So Trish, can you tell me, though, I love that. I mean, it's so clear. It all just aligns. You have no positioning issue. You don't. You're all aligned, right? It's all about getting this message out of a life of triumph and having a foundation and having the support. But my question is, what draws you to the Cowgirl
Surf? He did a photo of JD who designs everything, did a photo shoot of me, and I asked that I wanted my boys in it as well, and he said, let me do you first. So he took some photos and then did some illustration and pictures, drawings of me, and he asked me to name it. And I said, Cowgirl Surf. And he goes, okay, that float off your tongue. And he said, okay, let's brand it. So he took that as the branding of the apparel, which would then fund whatever proceeds came would then fund the foundation because, again, there was no investors, no money, and that's how I would get it going.
So, okay, I don't think I'm asking the question. I'm going to just say what I think because I have a guess about this.
Okay. Sorry if I'm not answering correctly.
No. I was trying to pull something out, and I don't think I was doing it in the right way. You mentioned – I'm talking about this because you mentioned your cowboy hat the other day. And
yeah.
I'm wondering that whole free spirit of being in the ocean, of, sorry for the way I say this, but screw your boss that told you not to run in heels, that
uh-huh.
this is also, living the life that you really want to live, having that lifestyle of, badass cowgirl on a surfboard, that it all ties together.
Right. That's
is that
life.
True?
I mean, that's what I am. I'm a cowgirl that loves the ocean. That's my therapy. Because my
okay.
body's rejected all cancer treatment, my therapy is the ocean.
Okay. Oh, my God. So that's what I thought. That's what I thought. So can you see how you don't have any positioning issue at all? You are all completely aligned. You've opened this business, this apparel business, as a vehicle to fund the foundation to help kids whose parents have cancer. And the business is apparel for people who want to be in the ocean surf because as a therapy for you, as you were going through it, the place that you found that solace was in the ocean and that you are, now that you are fully living your life, that you will dress the way you want to, it's all aligned and it's all part of this wonderful story. I mean, not the story of, your hardship, but it all ties
right,
together.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. So it absolutely makes sense of everything you just said. And when I'm online present, do I need to have separate pages for Kids Embracing Hope, which is the foundation, and Cowgirl? You know what I mean? It's like I have all these.
Yeah, I think you should.
It's kind of confusing. I don't think so.
No, I think you can have more than one business. You can have more than one page. You don't have to all try
okay.
to jam it all into one website.
Okay. Well, no, I have different websites. I've taken my Cowgirl Surfboard, just remodeling it.
Yeah.
So to be more consistent with the speaking one.
So here's the thing, and this is why this positioning stuff is so amazing, is because you are the brand. I mean, you have businesses, you have a foundation, you have an apparel business, you have a speaking business, you're probably going to be developing some kind of a coaching or consulting or teaching business. But you are the brand. You are the story behind all of those things. So the more you can leverage your name, your story, your experience, it's going to bring visibility to all of the businesses that you're running. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's all good. You're all good. You're not disconnected. Some people are more disconnected. You're not.
I just feel I am, I guess, sometimes.
No, you're not. And I just keep focusing on yourself. Just keep building your brand as Trish O'Neill.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Are you comfortable with that?
I'm very comfortable with it. In fact,
okay.
I just to share real quick, Brian Smith built the birth of the brand. He was the founder of the Ugg Boots.
Oh, yeah. Right. Uh-huh.
I think I told you that story, how I just called him that one day.
You mentioned that.
Called him. Right. So that was something being very – I was thinking about that when you said be bold.
Yes.
Do something different. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So since we're doing that, I want to give you guys an assignment. What can you do between now and your bonus call? I want you to pick something. That's a bold move.
Ooh.
Ha ha ha.
Pick a bold move.
Put the pedal to the metal, baby.
In terms of connecting with people?
It can doesn't have to be specific to connect, just something that's out of your comfort zone. It doesn't have to be calling somebody. It can be anything.
Okay.
But preferably related to your business.
Well, yeah.
But maybe not. I mean, maybe not. Maybe it's jumping out of an airplane. I don't know.
Okay.
But something that is a reach for you that makes you like it makes you excited to think about it happening, but it also makes your stomach feel like ugh.
Yep. Okay. Got it.
Do you have something?
I do.
Can you share?
Do you
or
want
no?
me to tell you?
Yeah.
So I
say it to claim it, baby.
I don't write. I mean, I write in my head. And I write in a...
I don't think that's called writing.
Well, it kind of is, because I imagine myself writing. But I always have moments throughout my day that I'm like, oh, God, that I should write about that. I should write about that. It happens every day. And I don't because... and I know where it comes from. In college, I just got, like, kind of... A professor was, like, really rude to me about my writing. Mm. And so I'm like, I don't know how to write. I don't know how to write. And I know how to write. I just write the way I speak, which is very flowy and it doesn't have a lot of structure and things like that. And so I need to write more. And I need to create the blog on my site and link back to that. And I say it all the time and I never do it.
Okay, so that sounds like a little bit of a big project. Is there one piece that you can do? Does it scare you to do that?
It does scare it scares me a lot to do it. So I want to write a blog post. That's what
okay.
I want to do.
So your challenge between now and then is to write one blog post?
Yes, at least for you guys to see it.
No.
Again, I would have been the same thing.
No way.
Okay, I take that back.
Too late.
I will post a blog post.
And if you don't have it on your website yet, post it on Facebook.
I'll post on Facebook if I don't get on my site. Yes.
And tag us.
And I'll tag you.
Before next Wednesday.
I got to be right there with Jen because a very similar thing happened to me. Do I have to have a blog post? Is that something that...
There are no business model police, right? But you want to
get...
You know what? You love to speak. Maybe your thing is video. So shoot a video and put that up instead of writing it.
Okay. I saw your cute little videos like you in the car. I'm like, okay, really? You make it so easy.
That's
like,
because
you make
it...
everything
that's...
look so easy.
Well, technically it is. I mean, and I did that because I'll tell you something that I did, right? Because I've had a lot of experiences in the past 8 months that have really triggered me to like, oh my God, I can't do that. I had someone over the past 6 months really call me out on something about being inauthentic. And it was because I have a video on the front of my podcast that shows me in a Porsche and I'm walking towards an airport and I'm downtown Boston by the yachts and it's very lifestyle. And they said, you know what? You don't have a jet. You don't own a yacht. You're a mommy in a minivan. And I was like, oh yeah, there's some truth to that there. I mean, we do happen to have a nice car in our garage and I live in Boston and I'm down by the yachts every second I can be down there because I love it down there. And I have two pilots in our family, so I do fly private once in a while, but that's not the point. The point was I'm also a mommy. So I said, you know what? That was one big step for me to say, I'm going to show this side of myself that's a little bit more vulnerable. You know, I don't always look like I'm on the operatic stage. I'm in my minivan a lot of times in my yoga pants. So, that was sort of one of my things to put myself out there in that way and say, okay, this is scary to me, but I'm going to do it anyway. So that's my example.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's why you did that. Okay. Because I was thinking when I was looking at some of those, I thought, okay, this is interesting. Cause I don't know if this, like when we were talking yesterday about being on brand most of the, you know, not every minute of the day, but most of the time you got to be on brand. But that to me was very authentic. When I saw that, that's all I thought of was, wow, that is pretty authentic.
It certainly is. Because I probably
it's
just
true.
Dropped my kid off at school, you know, and was I was still in my minivan. But the thing is, you know, and it just as an aside about your brands in general, and it goes back to the question that you had about your apparel business, is that you get to decide who you are. And, you know, nobody puts baby in a box, right? Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
You get to be all of who you are. You don't have
right.
to take away who you
I
are.
I own that. I own that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? And I am an opera singer. And I do, every time I go to the mall, I'm looking at gowns. That's, you know, that's my jam. But I also am a mommy with a minivan. Right?
Mm-hmm. You got swag.
So that's all.
You got your, you know.
Well, I think
I'm not one or the other. I'm both.
You know what I mean? We're all.
What's that?
I think that's probably all three of us. I mean, if I went to a store, I'd be looking for cowboy boots. You would
exactly.
be looking at gowns.
Jen, exactly.
I would be looking for a gray sweater. I don't know.
I would, because
like,
you,
know,
you can never have too many.
But that wasn't, I didn't mean that in any demeaning way at all, Jen. I just because
no,
I
no,
mean,
no,
you
no.
Yeah,
I'm completely agreeing with you.
I
would.
So
it's about being all of who you are. Right. And
oh,
and part of being bold, and I think this is kind of what we're touching on, and it's a lovely way to end our call, is that what is scary about taking these risks is something really to ponder. Because what scares us about showing up in our minivan or writing a blog post or whatever it is that you're afraid of is those demons of I'm not good enough. What will people say? What will people think? Right? And we've got to get, not that you don't always want to improve and take feedback from people who are trying to help you grow. You always want to do that, but you can't let that shut you down from expressing who you are. And the people who are leaders are not perfect. They're just more willing to make mistakes in public, right?
Yeah.
You do the best that you can. You show up with your A game. You have a spirit of excellence, right? You're not showing up with a spirit of mediocrity of just getting by. You're doing the best that you can, putting the best product out there that you can, and then putting it out there and letting the chips fall where they may and moving on. That's what leaders do, and it's really easy. You know, my dad always used to say to me, the slowest guy in the race is faster than the guy sitting on the sidelines.
Absolutely, because
so,
he's not on the race.
Exactly, and you guys are. So be bold, man, and find your people. So we're here for each other. I'm here cheering you on.
Well, thank you. Good. I'm cheering you on, too, because I thought that was awesome.
Good. Thank you.
Okay,
so
Monday, it's Wednesday. I'm
Wednesday.
Sorry.
So Jen has her
and
blog post. Trish, what was your thing that you're doing?
Oh, gosh. I am going to, and I've been thinking about this more and more, actually, before this even call came. I am going to, number one, make a list, because I need to do that to be focused, on influencers. And then I'm going to pick one and do the
mm-hmm.
best I can to reach out in as many different directions that I can to get in touch with whoever I need to get in touch with, to get in touch with those people.
Okay. No, so pick one. Do one. Okay, one for next week. One person. And
one person. I am dying. I even went to the show, and I was rejected. Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay. Well, so pick one thing that you can do between now and next week. One thing.
I'm going to do whatever I can do to try and get in touch, to get closer to that influencer.
Okay, good. And do the... And if you're going to do, if you go on and talk to them or reach out to them, review the positioning thing. Remember that you need to know what your ask is, do your research, and show up as a giver. Have something to contribute.
And I showed up as a giver to her show with every piece of apparel line that I had made.
So is that being a giver to
rejected.
Ellen?
I gave it
but
to Ellen.
But listen, but is that for, how is that going to help Ellen?
I was trying to position myself in with the note that I, in the letter that I wrote her, which she may probably never even saw.
But my question is, how is you showing up with apparel helping Ellen?
Yeah, I guess it wasn't. It was trying to help me.
Mm-hmm. So when you, that's why I'm bringing it up. So it's a perfectly natural, I mean, that's what we do. We want, you know, you, and you have a mission. So you're passionate about it. I totally get it. But when you're approaching these people, you have to come with what's in it for them. Right? Come up as a, with a giver of value to them. Or with a clear ask, right?
Adversity. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Awesome. Okay,
awesome.
So you guys have your bold task.
And Wednesday we're doing an hour later, correct?
Same time
on Wednesday. Okay.
Yep.
Perfect.
Okay, have a good week, ladies.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. You're welcome. Bye-bye.